In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and our text in the words of the 16th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and at verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Especially the words at the beginning of verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? You all know that if we are spared and well, we anticipate the beginning of our communion season a week tomorrow. And we look forward to the opportunity of drawing aside from our usual activities, of drawing aside from matters that are more temporal, more of this world, not sinfully worldly, we trust, but nonetheless more earthbound, and having the opportunity of focusing on things that remind us that we are heaven-bound. The communion is a time of warm fellowship very often. It's a time of revived spirits as we begin to flag. It's a time and ought to be a time of gospel feasts when we receive abundantly from the Lord's hand. And at which especially, amidst of all the communion and enjoyment that we have together, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we trust, will be administered amongst us, and we will sit at his table in obedience to his command. This do in remembrance of me. And so much of what is set out for us of the Lord's table occurs and is restated in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But we are here in the 10th chapter. And we know what to expect at a communion season, even when we have changes to the ministers who are coming, or changes each communion season and different ministers visiting us. We still know what to anticipate when we come in on the Sabbath morning. We expect that having preached the action sermon, having fenced the table, the minister then descends, as it were, from the pulpit, comes down, while anyone still remaining comes forward to the table. Then the minister will read the warrant, but then he will follow the pattern and he will give thanks for the Lord's table, for the elements that are before us, for the bread and the wine, and they are set apart in that consecrating prayer from a common use to a holy use. And this prayer always happens before the elements are handed round. The elders are the servants of the congregation. They will serve the elements. And it is done in this pattern, following the example of the Lord himself. The church, we have not simply added this out of preference, because we have the habit ourselves of giving thanks for our food. But in this particular meal, there is a warrant, and more than a warrant, there's a requirement to follow the Lord's example in what he does. And that prayer that is made is a very sweet part of the sacrament. And I'm sure that you have found it to be so often yourself. And I want to consider that little part with you this evening for a short time under a few headings and from this text in 1 Corinthians 10:16. We have a number of things we can say based on this text. First of all, it is a cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? It is a cup of blessing. And we notice that this is Paul's inspired description of the cup. It is the cup of blessing. And of course, Paul is speaking here about the particular cup, the communion cup that is then ready on the table. It is filled with wine. It is there waiting to be distributed and passed around to those who are sat at the table who are professing the Lord's name. And when he says here, the cup of blessing, he is not necessarily thinking about the goblet, about the container of liquid, not the vessel. But really, when we say the cup, we mean what is contained within it. And we are thinking about the particular element, the wine that is there as part of the Lord's Supper. And so we have here, if you like, this first point, and it's a simple point, but it is an objective lesson. It is then something that is simply true, irrespective of your position or my position, that this is a cup of blessing. It's a simple fact. The communion cup of wine is a blessed cup. It is that. We might be in all sorts of different spiritual conditions. We might have seen times where the Lord's Supper was poorly administered even. But the cup of blessing, that's still what it is. Objectively, it is the appointment of Christ. It is gifted as a wonderful parting mercy from the King himself to his people, to his church, for them to remember him and his death by until he returns, till he comes. It is such an objectively wonderful thing. How could anything that Christ has given to remember himself by until he come, how could it not be blessed? How could it have just been left here, Paul said, the cup which we bless? He couldn't leave it as that. He had to add in the cup of blessing. And what we are saying here, of course, we are just confining ourselves to one of the first part of this passage, of this text. But what we say about the one element is true, of course, about both elements. They are both blessed. It's a blessed piece of bread. It's a blessed cup of wine. In this way, of course, the sacrament is not two sacraments. It's not bread as one sacrament and wine as another. They are one, and they are speaking the same truth of the suffering and death of Jesus. Both are blessed things. So we can rejoice in this truth. The cup that will be before us in just over a week's time, if we are spared and well, it is a cup of blessing. It is the cup of blessing. It is full of blessing. Of itself, that it will be there is a great blessing. You or I might have different experiences. We might have our hopes exceeded or dashed over the communion season of what we hope might come to pass. We hope to be blessed in every way. We hope to be blessed by the preaching of the word, by the fellowship of the saints. We hope to enjoy the sermons. And we would expect, even, not because of anything in us, but because of his promises, we would expect to know the Lord's help. But we also know sometimes we have, maybe disappointment is too strong, we haven't always reached the heights of the hopes that we had before a communion season. That's our experience. But there is always this consistency in the sacrament itself, in the cup and in the bread. They are cup of blessing, bread of blessing. And that we know that is going to be the case, that we know that is true of what will be set before us, that ought to raise our eyes, that ought to lift our hopes, that ought to stir up our souls, and it ought to whet our spiritual hunger, because it is not dependent upon other factors. is not dependent in this way upon if the minister we feel gets on or not. It's not dependent upon if he chooses our favourite passage or not. The cup of blessing is objectively that. And that is a wonderful thing. It is indeed a cup of blessing. But I want to move on from that simple point. Secondly, it is a cup that is blessed. And that might sound like we're saying the same thing. And it almost seems as if Paul is saying the same thing twice. The cup of blessing which we bless. But no, Scripture is not wasting any words here. It is not simply saying what has already been said when it says the cup of blessing which we bless. Instead, it is an assertion that this cup, which is always a cup of blessing, it is then itself, as it were, blessed. And we can think of that moment. The table is furnished. The elders, while we sing the psalm, go to get the elements. They lay it upon the table. The table is furnished. The warrant is read. And then you come to the moment when, having read the warrant, the minister says he will endeavour to follow the example of the Lord and give thanks. And we there are sat at the table around it, having come forward from our usual positions, and we bow our heads. And what? Well, then the minister, we know, he blesses God for this provision. He thanks God for what Christ has given us. And he asks for the Lord's blessing upon the bread and the wine, that they might be indeed spiritually a blessing to us. And it is this sort of the objective truth of that there's a cup of blessing. But then there is this, as it were, drawing of that down to ourselves and for ourselves as we gather. If we can think of it on purely earthly terms, we know that bread, or to just to take us away from the elements particularly used for the Lord's Supper, but meat is satisfying, it is nourishing, it is good. And that is true all the time. But then when we have a meal together in our own homes, we ask the Lord to bless this particular meat to us. We know it's fortifying to anybody who takes it. But we are then taking that which we know to be true anyway, and objectively, and seeking to have it become a truth personally. And one of the commentators, I forget which one it was. I can't remember which one. One of the men makes the analogy with the way that God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it at the creation of the world. It was an ordinary day. The sun rose in the same manner and set in the same manner. There was nothing of itself that would distinguish it. But it was set apart for an extraordinary use, for a spiritual use. And so it is with the cup of wine and with the plate of bread. It is set apart, not for that which is of the ordinary use of these things, but for an additional spiritual blessing for us to be derived from it. And the minister is not doing that of his own authority. It's a reason that ministers are called ministers. They are there to administer things. They are there to perform as servants. And so we can say in that way, they operate ministerially. Christ alone is king. He operates magisterially. He is the magistrate, as it were. He is the one who has determined that this is to be done. And then it is the minister, for the ministers to actually carry it out. But the minister pronounces, if you like, in that blessing, a kind of a benediction upon the bread and the wine over that common cup. It is, we might say, twice blessed. It must always be considered blessed because it is the institution of Christ, the institution of the Saviour, the gift of the Saviour for his people. It's an objective blessing, it's a sacrament. But then it is blessed subjectively for the use and benefit of these very people now who are sat with us at the table, that they would receive blessing from it, that they would partake of it, that they would drink from that cup of blessing, blessing to themselves. It is now thus declared, as it were, to be a cup of blessing which we bless. In other words, we are not only saying, this cup, oh, it's a wonderful thing, it's a blessed thing when we consider it objectively, when we consider it dispassionately, when we put out the arguments why it should be blessed, whether we're going to take it or not. But there at the table of the Lord, when it is set before us as one of the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are saying, personally, for me, for those who will gather with me, those who will sit beside me, those who will join with me, a blessing is laid upon this cup. In other words, it is a truth, if you like, for the person who's behind the table, as much a truth for the person behind the table as the person sat at the table. It is a cup of blessing. Both the non-Christian and the Christian can all say, and it is equally true for them to say, that is a cup of blessing. But when the minister seeks from the Lord and pronounces upon that cup, the blessing of heaven, that blessing of the cup is the blessing of the cup considered personally. It's much quite different from merely accepting it is this. For those who take it and drink from it, for those whose lips reach to the rim of that cup and whose tongues taste of the vintage of the wine, whose stomachs are warmed by the wine, in this cup there is a blessing for me. And notice how Paul puts it. The cup of blessing which we bless. Now you might remember the pattern of the Lord's Supper. You might expect it to be, well, the cup of blessing which he blesses, he being the minister. But Paul says it's the cup of blessing which we bless. It's not only the minister who blesses it. And that takes us to our third point, which is that it is a cup that is blessed by us all. It's a cup of blessing itself. It's a cup that is then blessed. It's a cup there that is blessed by us all. When the minister blesses the cup, he does so on behalf of the congregation who are sat at the table. And in his prayer, in his blessing, we all assent to that. We all put our amen to it. We all seek the blessing that he is seeking. We all, as it were, enter into that prayer and are part of that prayer. He is not praying for himself. He is leading the congregation in prayer. And we receive in the same way then the blessing that is upon it. One of the commentators says, the consecration of the cup is the corporate act of the whole congregation. It's an interesting way of thinking of it. The consecration of the cup is the corporate act of the congregation, not exclusively the minister. And perhaps And I confess, I certainly hadn't. Perhaps you've never considered in these terms as such when you have sat at the Lord's table. But the more I thought about it, though not explicitly so, perhaps implicitly, subconsciously, unconsciously, we have done precisely what he is indicating. When the prayer is made by the minister there, giving thanks, when blessing is sought, are you not adding your own silent desire into that prayer as well? Are you not yearning for that cup? When the cup is blessed, are you not anticipating the blessing of it for yourself and your own soul? Are you not willing him on, as it were, to success in what he desires, that he might know the answer to his prayer, that this cup would be blessed to those who are about to take it? Is the cup of the communion of Christ not a very precious thing? Don't you take it to your lips with all reverence when you do? Don't you take it to your lips with a sense of the amazing unworthiness that a soul such as me should be granted a portion, should be granted a share in this cup alongside the saintly brothers and sisters around me? And so surely indeed the child of God at the table of the Lord says, the cup of blessing which we bless. And we can think of this blessing as a blessing that lingers. It's not a blessing that is confined to a single act or a single moment. If you like, it is a blessing that comes down and abides upon us. There's the blessing of what we say, consideration. As you contemplate the cup of the Lord before it has been passed round, as you see it sat there when the elders bring it in, there's a blessing of assenting to all that is happening when you put your hearty amen to the giving of thanks and the prayer of the minister. There's a blessing of anticipation then, as you wait while the elders go to get it and then they pass it round slowly through the congregation. There's a blessing of participation then when it comes to your turn and you take that cup and you drink it and you taste of it. And then there's the blessing thereafter of meditation as you then pass it on to the person next to you and it continues round and there's this sweet, peaceful silence where there's just that time to consider what you've done. You're considering the significance of the cup, with its taste still in your mouth. It is our cup. It's a cup of blessing which we bless. But in all this, I suppose we've sort of not yet come to the real substance of it. What is the blessing itself? In more explicit language, why is it so precious to us? And so we come fourthly, it is a cup of communion. It is a cup of communion. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The blessing of this cup, together as we are at the table where the minister gives thanks and the subsequent drinking from it, these things, both in the blessing of the cup, as it were, from when the minister gives thanks for it, in that blessing, as well as then in the partaking and participating of that cup. In both these things together, we have here what is described as a joint participation and communion in the blood of Christ. These things it is not only in the physical taking of the cup, but from the point at which we enter into the spirit of it in the prayer of thanks beforehand, we are there enjoying this, what is described here as the communion of the blood of Christ. We bless Christ for the sacrament, yes. But especially we bless him for what it represents. And it represents our having a communion, an interest in, an experience of the blood of Christ. And so it represents the blood that was shed by Christ. It represents the life that was given by Christ. It represents the death that was died by Christ. It represents the atonement that was accomplished by Christ. And we partake in that in taking the cup. It represents the substitution that he made himself for us in our room and in our stead. And oh, friends, we bless this cup for the communion of Christ it brings to us. We bless Christ and we bless the cup of communion and the cup of blessing. We bless this cup when we are blessing Christ for his death as we are sat at the table and loving him for his dying love. When we cling to him as our only hope there, when it is clear to us at the table that Christ has done it all. When we, in a sense of our utter unworthiness, weep before the cross and before the blood that was shed of Christ for us, knowing that it was for our sins that he was nailed to the tree. All this, in these matters, we have this sometimes elusive but holy communion with Christ. It is not just the cup and the wine. It's the cup that is set aside and blessed because the cup of blessing, because Christ has given it, that in this we might have the fellowship of the blood of Christ. We might share together, we might unite with him. We might enter into it by faith in all that is set before us. In other words, the blessing of the cup is nothing less than the blessing and benefits of the sacrifice of Christ for us. Everything is there in the cup. Everything is open for our soul. As the wine is taken to our lips, so we take the death of Christ to our souls. And we have communion with Christ in that. The cup then is the seal of our living union with the Saviour, a means of our partaking of Christ as our Saviour. It does not then offer us anything additional to the preaching of the gospel, but is an additional means by which we might receive the same exact benefits as are there for us in the preaching of the gospel. And so we bless that cup. It's a cup of blessing. And we say amen to it. And we receive it, knowing that here we might have our communion with Christ. And so, friends, indeed, May it be a cup of blessing to us in a week's time if we are spared. May the Lord add his own blessing. Let us pray.